The Jets play in Minnesota this weekend against the Vikings. Today, Luke Braun, the host of Locked On Vikings, and I are going to talk about it. It's Crossover Thursday today on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Crossover Thursday, brought to you by Prize Picks. Hello to Jets fans. My name is Luke Braun. I do Locked On Vikings, and for Vikings fans, I'm here with John Butchko of Locked On Jets. As every Crossover Thursday is, this is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 of your favorite players, whether they will do more or less than their Prize Picks projection. Just you against the house. You can win up to 10 times your money. You can get a 100% deposit match on your first deposit, up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. And thank you for making Locked On Vikings and or Locked On Jets your first listen of the day. John, how are the Jets doing, man?
They're having a really good season. They're 7-4 right now. They've exceeded all expectations. I think, you know, heading into the season, the Jets' stated objective was to be playing meaningful games in December, and they're not just playing meaningful games. If the season ended today, they'd be in the playoff. They'd be in the playoffs, and that's true for the first time since 2010. The big story, though, right now is the quarterback position. Mike White.
Yeah.
Last year it was Halloween. He lit up the Cincinnati Bengals, threw for 405 yards and 3 touchdowns. This year it was Thanksgiving weekend. He goes out and plays a great game against the Chicago Bears. This time he throws for 315, also throws for 3 touchdowns. So last year White had that stellar game against Cincinnati. The next week the Jets played Thursday night against the Colts, and he played really well in the first quarter of that game, but left with an injury to his hand. Came back the next week and had a rough game against the Buffalo Bills, threw 4 interceptions. Okay. And that led to his benching. So the question with the Jets right now is whether Mike White can build on his performance unlike a year ago.
Yeah. And so with Zach Wilson, to catch Vikings fans up, here's my understanding of it. Correct me where I'm wrong. Zach Wilson struggled against the Patriots through 3 picks. Had his quote about how, no, I didn't let the defense down or whatever, losing the locker room, all sorts of bad stuff happening. He gets the hook. But from what I understand, the company line from the Jets is not Zach Wilson's been benched, we think Mike White's a better quarterback, but that Zach Wilson is on ice for a while to kind of reset and regroup and try to get it back together. So is there an intention for Zach Wilson to get back on the field someday? And at least for this game, do you think that there is a world where if Mike White comes out, throws 4 interceptions like he did in that bad game against the Bills, if Mike White has a terrible game, is there any world where we see Zach Wilson come in? Is this like a true controversy, or like, where are we at here?
Well, you probably won't see Zach Wilson in this game because he was inactive last weekend.
He won't even dress.
No, Joe Flacco was the backup quarterback for the game against the Chicago Bears. You know, as you said, the company line right now is that Zach Wilson is still the quarterback of the future. I don't know how much the Jets are just saying that to avoid the headline that they're giving up on Zach Wilson. I think it's something they need to say right now because Mike White's a game-to-game situation. We don't know how good Mike White really is. So there's a world where Mike White struggles to the point where the Jets end up going back to Zach Wilson before the end of the year. But a lot of it comes down to what Mike White does going forward, because if he keeps playing well, he's going to stay in the lineup. And the other factor here is if Mike White struggles, it's not clear that Zach Wilson's the first guy back in the lineup. Zach Wilson's been dealing with some mechanical issues. I think it's possible Joe Flacco gets the next chance, even if Mike White struggles. So it's difficult to say. I think there's a world where maybe we see Zach Wilson before the end of the year. I would expect Zach Wilson's going to be on the team next year because I don't think the Jets have any incentive to, jettison him.
Year.
But I think that Zach Wilson standing with this team is not where it was at the start of the season. I think clearly it's been clearly there are some issues, and the biggest issue is just that he hasn't developed the way the Jets wanted him to. But Luke, let me turn the tables on you. Let me ask, what's going on with the Minnesota Vikings right now? I know they're having a great season. What's the top storyline with Minnesota?
So right now, I think the top story the whole year has been like, can they get a win that feels real? I've argued that a few feel real, but you know, when you're a tortured fan base, I'm sure Jets fans know this well. Tortured fan base, you can kind of go through every win and say, well, this one is fake because of this. You know, well, they were starting Trevor Siemian. That Bears win doesn't really count. You know, you can kind of go like dismiss each one until suddenly you're 0-9. So they're still trying to figure out, like, is this team real or are they fraudulent or are they, you know, are they just winning because they've hit a bunch of backup quarterbacks? Like, they've hit a weird amount of backup quarterbacks. They played Miami. Skylar Thompson started that game. Teddy Bridgewater finished it. They played the Washington Commanders. They got Taylor Heinicke a week after Carson Wentz got the hook, which turned out to be the better quarterback for sure. But at the time, we're going, oh, here's another backup quarterback. You know, they get Andy Dalton with the Saints. So they've hit a whole bunch of backup quarterback situations. And then, you know, wins against the Bears and the Lions aren't really going to like impress you that much. So they're like still waiting to impress. Even the Buffalo Bills win. Go beat the Bills in Buffalo. Really impressive stuff. But like they needed that lucky fumble to do it. And it was this crazy game. And so they're still looking for, are they really like realistic? And like statistically with analytics, if you look at adjusted net yards per attempt, they're a bottom five team in that stat, but they're 9-2. They've got a +5 point differential and they're 9-2. They had a negative point differential before the Patriots game on Thanksgiving at 8-2. So what do you make of them? You know, there's nothing to know. If you ask me, the real story is how the Vikings are learning how to play under this new coaching staff. The things that Kevin O'Connell is having them do, the McVay-style scheme, or on defense, the Fangio-style scheme that Ed Donatell is running. These guys are still getting used to stuff. It was a lot more in the beginning of the season, but there's still busted coverages, communications. There's still a lot of thinking, a lot of reading, a lot of new stuff to get down. And so when it comes to opponents, it's how can you prey on that? We'll talk a little bit later about, you know, how the Jets plan to take away Justin Jefferson. That's the other big storyline, is that Justin Jefferson is genuinely in shouting distance of having a 2,000 yard season, and he called his shot before the season too. So it's incredible what Justin Jefferson has been doing this year. So what do you do with that? Those I think are the big storylines. And then can this defense like pull itself together for how much talent it has?
That's interesting, because it sounds like there are mirror images of the Jets, because Jets have gone through a lot of the same things. They faced a lot of backup quarterbacks too.
Right? Yeah. Some of the guys are they frauds? They faced, are they real?
They faced Tyler Thompson. They faced Brett Rippon in Denver. They faced Jacoby Brissett in Cleveland. They faced Pittsburgh's duo of Trubisky and Pickett. And just like Minnesota, their signature win was against the Buffalo Bills. So it's now that one I think was a cleaner win. That, you know, there was no fumble there. That, you know, there was no that was a wild
have to
game.
Fumble on a kneel down.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that was a wild game that, you know, the Vikings won. But it's very interesting because it's very much the same thing. It just feels like things have kind of lined up for the Jets this year, and there's still a sense of how good is this team really, or things just kind of lining up. And look, I don't think you apologize for wins, though. I think for either team, you just you listen. I think both of our fan bases have been through years where things did not go their way. So sometimes the breaks just go your way. Maybe it won't go that way for either team next year, but you just enjoy it while it lasts.
Right. And yeah, there's a lot of talk, like be in the moment, right? Like the Vikings are 9-2. The Jets are what? 7-3, 7-4. Like that's great. And sitting in playoff position, and in at least the cursory research I've done on the Jets roster, they have some dudes. That defense is humming. Tell me a little bit about what makes that defense so fearsome. They've given up 20 points or 13 points from scrimmage in the last two games.
If there are two spots you can be good in defense in the NFL, you want it to be the defensive line and corner. They're getting great play out of their defensive line. Quinnen Williams. He's taken a huge step forward this year. Year four has been the year where he's broken down. He's gone from being a good player to a guy who is going to probably be in the Pro Bowl and very well could be on an all-pro team. He's been unblockable. But they have other solid guys on the line. The guy John Franklin Myers, who was a waiver claim a few years ago, has really emerged. The Carl Lawson's back from injury. They've got a lot of guys on the defensive line, but they also have great corner play. Sauce Gardner drafted fourth overall. Yeah. He's been as good as any corner in the league. I mean, he's another guy who I think very well could contend for all pro, but there's some guys who are flying under the radar a little bit more. They have DJ Reed, who they signed for as a free agent from Seattle, who's been excellent. He's been quieter. He hasn't gotten the same level of attention Sauce Gardner's gotten, but he's also been excellent. And you also have in the slot Michael Carter II, who was a fifth round pick a year ago, who has done a great job locking guys down in the slot. So it's you know, the linebackers and safeties, they've been up and down. They've had some very good moments. They've had some very bad moments. But the defensive line and the corners, they've done it all season long.
And it will be yet another. The Vikings have faced some really intense defenses in the last month. So we've got another one lined up in the gauntlet. We're going to get into some of the more individual matchups. Of course, Jefferson versus Sauce Gardner. Everybody, that's going to be great TV. And I'm sure we've got some other stuff in mind. So we'll get into that in just a moment. First things first, though, this Crossover Thursday podcast is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts, including Think Like a Champion. It is a brand new podcast from Russell Wilson, of all people, alongside co-hosts Harry Wilson and Trevor Moawad, the late Trevor Moawad, digging into how high-performance athletes, artists, and leaders push the boundaries of their potential. For example, you can hear a guy like Von Miller deliver insights about performing at your highest level. You can hear from the best about how to be the best. And of course, all these guys swapping all kinds of stories. Real good time. Available for free on Audible or wherever you get your podcast. Head on over to Locked On Presents for a sneak peek of Think Like a Champion, or catch the full series available wherever you get your favorite shows. Audible, get in the game. John, let's talk a little bit about matchups. Again, thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings and or Locked On Jets your first listen of the day. Check out Locked On Sports today. They're doing a lot of great stuff in the wide world of sports. I'm sure you all have the other football has some stuff to discuss on Locked On Sports today, as well as basketball and hockey, everything going on around the NFL. John, let's get the elephant in the room out of the way right away. How will the Jets approach Justin Jefferson? Will they shadow him with Sauce Gardner? And if so, what does that matchup look like? Will they let DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner split him up? Will they just kind of hold all their corners in place, let the Vikings dictate the matchups? What's the plan for star wide receivers?
The Jets generally have not switched sides this year. They generally have not had their corner shadow the other team's best receiver. Generally, it's just, you know, Sauce goes to his side, DJ goes to his side, okay. And they take the matchup. But there was one exception. There was a game against Buffalo, and it wasn't necessarily that they had Sauce Gardner shadowing Stephon Diggs. It's that they played more field side versus boundary side. They had Sauce Gardner, I believe, played the boundary side. So
interesting.
Conceivably, that
he played the boundary, so the smaller side.
Yes. It's going to be interesting because this is the type of game where maybe you mix things up a little bit, given you mentioned it, how outstanding Justin Jefferson has been this year. Mm-hmm. This might be usually the Jets with their defense has just been, this is how we play. They'll go out, they'll play, you know, a lot of cover three, a lot of cover four. They'll play man to man on passing downs, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did mix it up a little bit this week. It could be a situation though, where they start out just doing what they've been doing, because I think the Jets do trust DJ Reed. DJ Reed hasn't been, he hasn't generated the headline Sauce Gardner's gotten this year, but he's been really solid. You know, he's been almost as good as Sauce Gardner. So it might be a situation where maybe the Jets begin doing what they've been doing, but then conceivably maybe they make some in-game adjustments if it's not working, and then maybe they start having Sauce follow Justin Jefferson around. So it'll be interesting to see. I actually think it's possible we don't get like that big time matchup. You know, we might get the Gardner Jefferson matchup less than we're expecting.
And that's kind of what I'm thinking, that it's going to be a big thing on TV and then he won't stay there, because the Vikings move Jefferson around all the time, and they've definitely had games where they just won't put him outside if there's a corner out there they don't want him to see. But then other times, like, they let him go one-on-one with Marshawn Lattimore all day against the Saints. No slouch of a corner over there. So they'll move him around and try to get the matchups that they want, but I'm curious to see which matchups those are. But sometimes that's linebackers, you know, get Justin Jefferson on a linebacker and let's just make this dude hopeless. I want to flip around to the other side and ask, so I don't know a lot about Mike White other than he's the backup and he had that one good game against Cincy. What is the nature of a Mike White? How do you how do the Jets maximize him? Like, how did they do it against the Bears, getting 31 points out of their backup quarterback and all of that throwing? What was it about Mike White that makes that offense go? And what is it about Mike White that fails when it doesn't go? Like, how do you attack? I'm trying to scout a little bit. Should the Vikings attack this?
Mike White gets the ball out quickly. He's good at making pre-snap reads. He knows where to go with the ball. And, you know, he's have some quarterbacks, and I think Zach Wilson was one of them, especially young quarterbacks. They tend to focus on one or two receivers. Mike White spreads the ball around. Mike White reads the defense, and he takes what they give him. There were 10 different Jets who had at least one reception in that game on Sunday. You know, and if you look at the way this Jets team is built, they did not go out. Now, they did draft Garrett Wilson in the top 10, so you can't say that they, you know, avoided making a big investment at the receiver position. But they did not
and he's
really
popping off right now.
And he is, and I'm about to talk about him. But
yeah,
they kind of gave guys more moderate contracts, which is a sign. Instead of having like the one go-to guy, they want everybody to be involved. And that's, you know, I think that Mike White maybe runs this offense a little bit better, a little bit more along the lines of what their offensive coordinator wants than Zach Wilson did. I think they want a guy who just makes the proper reads, gets through his progressions on time. And
point,
you know, sometimes, yeah. And sometimes Mike White, it just will check it down, and that's not a bad play. It's something if Zach Wilson did that more, he'd be better off. But Garrett Wilson was the guy last week. He had over 90 receiving yards, and you know, everybody's going to be focused. As you said, everybody's going to be focused on the Sauce Gardner Justin Jefferson matchup that may or may not happen. I'm actually interested in another matchup, wide receiver versus corner. I'm really interested to see how Garrett Wilson does going up against Patrick Peterson.
Well, yeah. And if the Jets want, they can get Garrett Wilson on a backup corner. We will likely have a Caleb Evans. He's our second string outside corner. Cam Dantzler, the starter, is on IR. A Caleb Evans currently in concussion protocol, but he was a full participant in Wednesday's practice, so he seems pretty likely to play. Still, he's a backup. And like the Jets, the Vikings won't shadow Patrick Peterson unless it's an emergency. They only did it like in a move of desperation in the middle of getting boat raced by the Cowboys, and they even moved off of that later. So I think I have a feeling that they won't do it with Evans. So if you want, you can line up Garrett Wilson on a Caleb Evans all day. Evans as a backup corner is very conservative. So he will play off. He'll play, give you a ton of cushion, and you can basically run your hitches on him all day, but he won't get beat over the top. Like, he will refuse to get beat over the top no matter what it costs. Patrick Peterson, on the other hand, is a lot more heady about it because he doesn't have the breaking speed he used to have when he was a younger man. He's very anticipatory, and some of his best plays of the year have been reading concepts, stuff like, man, we're in the red zone. I know you guys love to run double post in the red zone, so I'm going to back off into my quarter and I'm going to slow play it. I'm going to play it a little bit further outside to really bait you into throwing it. I'm going to run under the route. I'm going to get an interception. That's how he ended the game against the Bills. It's that sort of mental side. So I think if I were the Jets, I would want Garrett Wilson on the backup corner, obviously. But also, I don't know what kind of other guys you have in terms of like speedsters or whatever that can maybe force a Caleb Evans to give you way more cushion than you want. And the Vikings have had a lot of trouble over the middle of the field, giving up to like digs over the middle or just seam routes and stuff. So if Mike White can hit timing routes in soft spots and zones over the middle of the field, basically everybody else has had their way with the Vikings this year in terms, I think they've got like the 30th pass defense total in the league. That is maybe the way to use Garrett Wilson. So similarly, I don't know if we see that matchup.
So great. Our marquee matchups will not be happening.
Yeah. Right. And the, like, by design, by the offenses, why would you put Garrett Wilson up against the best dude on the defense when you can get him finding a hole in the zone and, you know, or get him one-on-one with a backup? Well, here's another one, though. So Quinnen Williams, you said he's been like unblockable. So the Vikings interior has had some ups and downs. So they have a right guard who's a rookie who's been struggling mightily at Ingram. They have Garrett Bradbury, who has had a better season this year, but isn't, I mean, he's still, I mean, 300 pounds soaking wet. And so he's susceptible to a bull rush or two. Is Quinnen Williams, does he win with quickness? Does he win with power? Because depending on that, that probably dictates which matchup you guys are going to be chasing.
Well, I think Quinnen Williams, the answer is, I think, is all of the above, but he's also, okay, he pass rushes with a plan. And, you know, he essentially,
got it.
He really has the mental side of the game down where he knows how to set guys up. He knows how to, you know, win with leverage. He always has a plan B. So, you know, it's a little bit of everything. For the more often than not, he'll line up against the left guard. So, you know, that could you know, again, the Jets kind of do what they do on defense, but that's, you know, he's just really at this point, he's become the complete package on the defensive line. So that's one of the things is that he's got all the physical tools, but he's also got the mental side of the game down. And I think that's one of the reasons he's taken this step forward this year.
And that, like, interior pressure is always going to be the one thing that a quarterback hates to see the most in Kirk Cousins. So as we stand right now, the Vikings are 3-point favorites on Bet Online, and the over-under is 44.5. We will get into predictions on that and maybe more like keys to the game stuff we think is going to happen as well.
You know, Bet Online is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. You can get all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. As Luke just mentioned, Vikings currently 3-point favorites over the Jets, which they're at home. So you usually say that the home field's worth about 3 points. So the bettors seem to think that this game, these two teams would be evenly matched on a neutral field. Well, we'll find out on Sunday. But if you want to put money down on the game, go to BetOnline, where the game starts. Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John from Locked On Jets, along with Luke from Locked On Vikings, breaking down this weekend's matchup in Minnesota. Luke, how do you see this game turning out?
I'm worried about it. I really am. I'm worried about these Jets. I think they present challenges the Vikings have struggled with. If you look at the worst offensive games the Vikings have had, it's been against quality front fours. Commanders, Dolphins, I really thought they would struggle a lot more against the Patriots. Cowboys, of course, had all the answers to what the Vikings did. But if you can rush with four and get pressure, it, you know, the Vikings' answers to that, they have not been very good at generating quick answers to pressure, except for like literal blitz counters, but even that has been a problem. So I'm a little worried about it. That said, it's really hard for me to pick a Mike White-led team now that we've got a game of tape on him. Like, I get it a little bit with the Bears, both because the Bears are barely an NFL team and because they didn't have any Mike White tape. But I think the Vikings can do a little better there. So I'm feeling a little bit like the under is going to hit on that 44.5. And I think -3 is about an appropriate spread. So what would that imply? Like a 24-21 kind of Vikings win?
Oh, I can't believe you're doubting the legend of Mike White.
Hey, we've hit a lot of backup quarterbacks. This used to be a huge curse for the Vikings, but they beat like four of them this year. So I've learned my lesson on going on that curse.
I'm just saying, I mean, Mike White's played three games start to finish in his NFL career. Two of them he's thrown for 300 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, don't doubt the legend of Mike White. I kind of like the Jets in this game. And, you know, it's easy to pick the Jets because I'm the Locked On Jets host.
That's the way it should be.
I think
it's the natural order.
It's actually nice because for years and years and years, we've done these crossover shows and I could never like justify picking the Jets. So I'm just going to enjoy it while I can. But
absolutely.
I think if like you had these two rosters in front of you, you very well may take the Vikings as the better overall roster. But the NFL is all about matchups on a week-to-week basis. And I think the Jets present the Vikings with some matchup problems. I mean, you mentioned it, you know, Quinnen Williams versus that interior of the Vikings line. That's going to be a tough thing for them to deal with. You know, you talked about their pass defense. And you know, one thing you mentioned in the last segment is that if you have a quarterback who can go out and hit the timing routes, that's, you know, that guy's going to have success. And Mike White, you know, he doesn't have, you know, in college, I'm still trying to figure this out because I watched his college film, and in college he had this huge arm and like really struggled with his ball placement. Oh. The NFL is almost the opposite, where like there's not as much velocity on his passes, but he gets the ball where it needs to go. So I'd worry if, you know, there was a team that was really talented at man coverage, pressing the receivers, you know, forcing White to hit tight windows. But with a matchup where the defense, you know, you're probably going to see more zone, more opportunity to just hit the timing routes. I kind of like this matchup for Mike White. So, you know, I think it could go either way, but I'll go, sure. You know, you went 24-21 Vikings. I think I'll go 24-21 Jets. How's that sound?
I love it. Absolutely love it. I do have to bring up when it comes to the Vikings defense pressure as well. I don't know how the Jets offensive line has done it all, so you'll have to fill me in there. But Za'Darius Smith has been neck and neck for the lead in pressures, and I believe he's held the lead in sacks at points in this season. Za'Darius Smith has been an absolute sensation coming off of the back problems that he had in Green Bay. He's fully back to form. Don't forget Danielle Hunter, who's also been very disruptive, but teams have been paying so much attention to him that Za'Darius Smith keeps getting one-on-ones with guards. So my question in particular is, how does the Jets' interior offensive line handle one-on-one blocks with speedy rushers? Because that's what you're going to find with Za'Darius Smith. That is the challenge the Vikings present.
The Jets' offensive line's been decimated by injuries this year. Okay. It's been at various points, they've had five different tackles on IR. Now they've gotten some of those guys back. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh yeah, how's Elijah Vera Tucker going? I was like a huge AVT guy.
He's injured. He's injured. He actually started the year at guard, and they moved him to tackle because they suffered so many injuries, and then he got injured in the game against Denver, so he's on IR. So it's been a bit of mix and match. The Jets are getting healthier on the offensive line, which should help, but I think that's one of the areas where Mike White gives you an advantage over maybe a Zach Wilson, because Zach Wilson really likes to hold the ball, and there are moments where Zach Wilson takes pressures he should not take, whereas Mike White's more of a spread the field. Like, the Jets like to spread the field with Mike White. Mike White's good at reading pre-snap and getting the ball out quickly. So I think if you're talking about who can neutralize a pass rush better, it might be Mike White. And I do think that that's a matchup that, you know, Jets offensive line versus Vikings defensive line, that's a matchup that's problematic for the Jets. But I think with Mike White in there, the Jets are going to be able to handle it a little bit better than they'd be able to handle it with Zach Wilson in the lineup.
And he's not scrambling on this. He's not breaking pockets and making improv. He's handling it by getting the ball out quickly,
which is a huge distinction between Mike White and Zach Wilson. And unfortunately, with Zach Wilson was a very dynamic guy outside the pocket in college. It really has not translated to the NFL. When Zach Wilson leads the pocket in the NFL, the play's pretty much over. Whereas Mike White, again, really quick scan of the field, and then he gets the ball out quickly. You know, how good is Mike White's deep ball? We don't really know, because Mike White likes to get the ball. Mm. He likes the horizontal passing attack.
Yeah, and the philosophy the Vikings have on defense is to deny that deep pass, and essentially it's very much a, yeah, you can get your 4-yard stick route and we're going to come up and try to tackle, and, you know, eventually you're going to have to try to do something explosive, and that's when you have to play right into the teeth of the Vikings defense. We haven't talked about either running game. I know the Jets are having all kinds of struggles at running back in terms of depth and staying healthy. The Vikings running game has been up and down as well. But I guess, who do you think has the advantage there in terms of being able to move the ball on the ground? Or better yet, who gets a lead and protects it better, like in the event they get a lead with that run game?
You know, I might lean toward the Vikings on that one. The Jets running back positions also, they've suffered a number of injuries. Breece Hall, who was on his way to contending for offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
He was. I mean, he was dominating. I think Breece Hall prevented Zach Wilson's benching for a couple of weeks. I think Zach Wilson's benching would have come earlier if it wasn't for Breece Hall, because the Jets were winning games Zach Wilson wasn't playing well in. So they were able to kind of keep rolling with Zach Wilson because Breece Hall was so dominant. Breece Hall was giving them what they needed on the offensive side of the ball. His replacement, Michael Carter, is also injured. Now, the Jets did get a pretty big performance last week out of a rookie undrafted free agent, Bam Knight, who played well in the preseason, kind of was hanging out on the practice squad. So, you know, maybe there's something there, but, you know, I don't know how Bam Knight's going to play against a better, you know, the Bears' run defense is really not very good. So it's one of those things where, like, I need to see him do it against somebody who's not the Bears before I'm really ready to buy into it.
Yeah. And the Vikings are one of those teams that will just let you have box number advantages all day. They just will never put a safety down. They're just going to let you run against six-man boxes all day. Very importantly, we're getting Dalvin Tomlinson back for the first time in, I think, 3 weeks. He missed 3 weeks. He's a full participant in practice. He's had a calf injury he's been dealing with. Looks very optimistic for him to get back. That'll be a very, very huge part of it. But also Harrison Phillips, who you're very familiar with as from his time as a Bill. And then, again, Za'Darius Smith and Danielle Hunter. No slouches against the run either, it turns out. So they've been able to sort of mitigate that problem, and then it allows the Vikings to keep guys out. But that said, the Vikings pass defense has had all kinds of problems. A big part of it is the problem at cornerback. A big problem with it is holes over the middle. So I think if the Jets are going to move the ball, it's going to be with that kind of stuff, with seams, throws to tight end. We got a Tyler Conklin revenge game. We didn't even talk about that. But
do you want
know,
him back?
Tight end seams and posts and stuff.
Do you want
really?
Conklin
is he
back?
Really? Oh, he actually did well.
He's actually picked it up the last couple of weeks, but Conklin, okay. Like the first couple of weeks of the season, was the king of like 80 yards and garbage time. But he's actually,
I see.
Last couple of weeks he's done better. But the statistics, okay. So I mean, he was a guy I crushed in the early part of the season, but he hasn't played better of late. So maybe we'll keep him.
Well, I like Conklin. I like him as a person. He's a really nice guy, so I'm kind of rooting for him anyways, except for this week, I guess. Hey, John, thank you so much for your time here on Crossover Thursday. You can find John Butchko on Locked On Jets. I always recommend for Vikings fans, go listen to the other team's podcast for the week. Get your scout on. Jets fans, please come hang out on Locked On Vikings as well. This is Locked On NFL Crossover Thursday, brought to you, of course, by Prize Picks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.